My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
On Easter, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. I would like to share some wisdom and insight with you tonight that I believe will be helpful. All of my life in ministry, I have preached and taught to lift people to a higher level, to teach them how to grow, to improve, to increase, to become what God wanted them to become. One of the truths that you have to understand about that is found in Ecclesiastes 9 and 11. And we're not talking about 9/11 terrorist attack either. We're talking about an attack on hell, 9/11, where we as the people of God understand that God has put something in us that we desire to excel, we desire to experience God's best in this hour. Ecclesiastes 9 and 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. And here it is. Time and chance happeneth to them all. And so my text is very simply this: time and chance. Time and chance. If you would put your Bibles down, would you connect with somebody around you, and would you just intercede for all of the ears and hearts that are going to hear this word, that it would spark in them, it would produce in them a desire to grow, to increase abundantly, to become what God has called us to be, to allow the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within us to nurture the seed of God's word and to prepare for our time. And when our chance comes, we'll be ready. We'll be ready to accomplish God's best. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You may be seated. I like the way Susan Coolidge put it. She said, "How does the soul grow? Not all in a minute, for sure. Sometimes you lose ground, sometimes you win it. One day you're resolved, and the next day your will faileth. Today you rejoice, and tomorrow you weep. Now you're full of hope, and then you are filled with despair. Some days you walk suddenly and with a quick pace, and then other times you stumble in the dark. But fed by discouragement, taught by disaster, so we go forward, sometimes slow and sometimes fast, till all the pain is past and failure has been made whole. Then, full grown, we allow the Lord to rule our soul." That's powerful words. I want God to rule in my life. The gospel is a powerful transformational truth that takes a broken human being and turns them into a powerful, precious saint of God. Romans 12 and 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's the prophetic word that speaks growth and development of the soul into your life. Romans 8, 37 says, "We are more than conquerors through him that loved us." The rise of the soul and all growth is found in these four seasons of life. Everybody goes through these four seasons in life. Sooner or later, you're going to experience them. If you're still breathing and you live long enough, you're going to go through all four seasons. The first one is the season of vision, and the second is the season of shadows, and then the season of the ascent, and then to the very summit of our lives. Vision is that possibility of the soul's growth, the possibility that I can be more than I am now, the possibility that I don't have to live in depression, I don't have to live in defeat, I don't have to live in sin any longer. It's that possibility that's only spoken to us from a cross. It's only spoken to us from an empty tomb. It's only spoken to us in an upper room. But yet there is a chance. I said there is a possibility. There is a chance that you can climb out of the gutter of this world and become everything God wants you to be. But then come the shadows and the darkness, the hindrances and resistance to the soul's growth. And everybody's got it. Everybody's got opposition. Everybody's got something they have to defeat. Everybody here's got something they have to overcome. Don't try to compare notes with somebody else who has maybe less or more, because everybody's barriers are just as difficult to overcome as anybody else's barrier. But the gospel has power to defeat any barrier, regardless of what it might be. But I found that ascent, those altar stairs that I can climb, that ladder, Jacob's ladder, was that place where he said it was the house of God. God was in this place and I knew it not. Jesus even said, you're going to see, Nathaniel, that the angels are going to ascend and descend upon the Son of Man, as if Jesus is declaring himself to be Jacob's ladder, that altar stairs that climbs from this gutter world into a new dimension of authority and power. I refuse to believe that Jesus saved us just to sit here and be in despair for the rest of our walk with God. I refuse to believe that. I refuse to believe that all we have for the rest of our life is a struggle with this and a struggle with that, and we never quite overcome, and we always come back full circle, defeated and depressed and messed up. And if you listen to some people, you never will have an ounce of hope for anything in this world. But I'm so glad I found Jacob's ladder. I found a staircase that leads to a higher dimension. And I just want to know, First Pentecostal Church, does anybody want to ascend with me and go to a higher level and say, hey, I've got a God that can heal any disease. I've got a God that can break any habit. I've got a God that can defeat any devil in your life. And then we reach the summit. The high calling of God is the goal of achieving abiding value, where the heart never loses its worth, its compass, its passion, or its prize. And I've talked with saints like that. I've talked to people like Aunt Catherine and Eloise, our dear Eloise, who just went, Isabel, actually, I call her Eloise to pick at her, but Isabel went to see Jesus, and they just had the ability by their walk with God to ascend, to overcome, and to conquer everything where their soul had that abiding value. Even Alfred Tennyson, who didn't have the Holy Ghost, made this statement. He said, there is a great altar stairs that exist in our world that slope from darkness all the way to God. It's powerful, powerful truth. This enabling force creates growth. It's not mechanical or accidental. It's achieved by a divine energy that's been imparted through Jesus Christ. It's His Spirit living in you, empowering you to create this destiny of dominion. But when God grows a tree, He takes His time, don't He? He takes His time. Because you You can't speak a tree into existence. He might have spoke the first tree into existence, but from there on, the process is a little slower. I believe that by creation, he spoke it. And I wished I could just speak growth into everybody's life. Wham! And everybody grows up. And everybody matures. And everybody overcomes all their ignorance. It doesn't work that way. Because it takes more than one source to nurture a tree. A tree is not nurtured by only one source. There's the soil. There's the sunlight. There's the sky. There's the water that makes it grow. But don't forget, it takes conflicts with the weather and storms and drought. That war must be waged and won before a tree can come to maturity. And every one of us have stuff we've got to face. Every one of us that come to God have a past that we've got to deal with. Some is more difficult than others, but it is a past nonetheless that every one of us have to face. A life struggle that we've got to overcome. Perhaps it was the way we were raised. It was how we were treated yesterday. Somebody with authority spoke some nastiness into our life and it caused us to wilt. And we've got to deal with that in our own heart. But I promise you that God can grow a tree. It might take him time. And he doesn't do it any differently than growing a real tree to grow a soul. It's like climbing a mountain. You take one step at a time, but you keep your eye on the prize. That gets you through the breathless moment and the tiring, aching legs that want to quit, but you keep taking one more step. Here's why it's so hard, is because you got to know what God expects of you. You say, well, what does God want from us? Well, I'm going to tell you, Jesus told us in Matthew 5:48, and you're not going to like it. He said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, you tell me how in the world we're going to do that. How are you going to be perfect? I mean, I'm preaching to a group of imperfect people. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, you ain't there yet. God wants harmony, not discord. He wants victory, not defeat. He wants perfection, not blemishes. I mean, if you don't think that's true, then go to Ephesians 5:27. Maybe you didn't like what Jesus said. And this is what he said, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. How are you going to do that? I just don't understand God. However, the truth is that man is imperfect and you don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. You don't need to go to school. We fall short of the mark. There are human judgments that are mingled with error. We got motives that are mixed with prejudice. We got conduct that is faulty and we got character that is frail. And yet God wants a perfect man, even though man is very imperfect. And we're not even here by our own choice. We didn't produce this imperfection. We were born with it. Did anybody here select your parents? Did anybody here choose the date of your birth? Did you go to some register in the heavenlies and punch in a code that says you would be born to a certain people at a certain time, at a certain place? You don't have any choice over your circumstances, who brought you into this world. But I promise you this, you do have a choice over your second birth. You can choose to worship now. You can choose to bless the Lord now. You can choose to climb out of the gutter and say, I'm going to ascend, the altar says, and become what God wants me to become. I can do this with Jesus' help. Now, I don't want to mess anybody up here tonight. I'm just simply pointing out to you that everybody here is flawed in some way. But how many of you believe, and I just can't help but believe, that God knew our flaws and chose us to be in His kingdom in spite of our flaws? Your flaws did not take God by surprise. Your struggles did not take Him by surprise. And I believe it's the will of God for us to climb out of the imperfections and the flaws of our life and reach for that place, because God understands that struggle produces character. Quit looking at me like you have failed God because you're struggling. If you're struggling, you're still alive. If you're struggling, you're still trying. If you're struggling, you're still in the battle. It's when you give up that you're messed up. But thank God, I'm not going to give up. So why does He allow this? Why does He want you to be perfect, knowing you're going to struggle with that? Knowing that you're going to strive all of your life and never be able to achieve it on this side of glory. Why does He do that? Because in 1 Corinthians 1:29, He says He doesn't want any flesh to glory in His presence. Because you're not going to be able to take 1 ounce of credit for your salvation. Some of you still think you're good enough to make heaven. And friend, there ain't a single one of us good enough to get 5 inches off the ground if the rapture took place tonight. But thank God, by grace and because of His mercy, He has rescued me from my imperfections and my flaws. I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But I promise you, if I make it over there and I do get a crown that's got even a single star in it, I'm going to cast it at His feet, because it was not by my might nor by my power that brought my salvation into existence, but it's by His Spirit. Our disgrace is not that we're imperfect and flawed, but that we are content to be there. And our glory is not that we've obtained perfection, but that I want to be and I'm struggling to be. That's the key. I'm pressing for the mark. Every man presseth his way into it. I'm not there yet. If you pinch me, I hurt. If you kick me in the shins, I'm liable to kick you back. Huh? If you don't like Krispy Kremes, I'm liable to hit you with this Bible right up here. If you think Milton's Bakery's better, I done drawn the warning lines. All of our struggles are growing pains. That's what they are. I know when you look at life down here, nothing's perfect. But when you gaze at the summit, it's all complete and it's all perfect. Our victory is when you learn how to climb. And it's not that you're perfect in the sense that everybody thinks you should be, but that you have taken the next step. And you've gained growth. And I may not be as far along as I want to be, but I'm further along than I've ever been before. So I keep on walking and I keep on talking. That means that every trial I go through is not a time for me to despair. It's an act of my worship. To say, trials, you can throw your best at me, but this preacher's still gonna climb. And all of our struggles are the measure of our greatness. And sometimes those altar stairs are bathed in sunshine and sometimes encased in shadows. But I say, keep on climbing. I say, good people, don't give up. Let your mantra be onward and upward. We're flawed, but God's purpose is our chance to climb out of this mess. and to go onward. God said that I'm going to give you dominion. That's one some of the first words out of his mouth that he spoke into the generations. And God blessed them. Genesis 1:28. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. When he said that, he opened the door for man to climb out of his mess. You say, oh, I want to go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. We're not just going to heaven. We're headed for the throne if you're the bride of Christ. That's what the book says. I don't know how that plays out. I can't explain that nor define it, but I can tell you this. God has opened the door and has given me a chance. Everybody here's got a chance. I said, everybody here's got a chance. I'm not saying you don't have challenges, but you've got a chance to become a worshiper. I'm not saying you don't have struggles, but you've got a chance to be one that experiences victory. I'm not saying you haven't been defeated or you didn't do something wrong this past week, but I'm saying your chance is not Brian given. It's not Pentecost given. It's God given. Your chance to climb out of the gutter. I said, it's not some motivational speech that opened up the door for you. It was omnipotence that opened up the door for you. Woo! I said, the omnipotent God came down here and said, devil, step aside. This don't belong to you. These people are not yours. They are mine. I am their God, and they are my people. I wish somebody would listen to me right now. And every step and trial has been organized by God for your benefit if you respond correctly to it. Because it's omniscience that points out the path to glory. Isaiah 30:21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. But it's fraught with all kinds of struggles, God. But I've planned every one of them to develop you. Everything you go through has been designed by the Almighty so you can fight through it. Come out on the other side. But I didn't ask for this struggle. No, you didn't. You were born in it. God made me this way. No, he didn't. Sin made you the way you are, not God. Your first birth is not God's doing in the sense that your fallen nature was something God handed you on a silver platter and say, do the best you can with your fallen nature. Adam sinned, and it was his choice that put that on us. And it's God that gives us the ladder to climb out of it. And he don't have to do that. I mean, he could send all of us to hell right now, and he's got enough on every one of us to just, we could burst hell wide open right now, every last one of us. But I'm so glad that grace reached out. God made you the way you are. Sin made you the way you are. But Jesus can make you in his image, and he can give you power to overcome. None of us like our struggles in life. When man was created and he was fresh from the hand of God, the breath of divinity was on his face. And at Adam's feet, a newly created world, its harmony unbroken as yet by any discard or sin. Its beauty was not spoiled by any blemish. It was stocked with unlimited resources of divine provision. It was the best of the best. And God spoke this word and said, take dominion over that. He says, I want you to take the throne and be a king and rise up and rule in this life. That was man's first inspiring chance by God Almighty handed to him. But he lost it. Listen to me. Adam lost it. The scepter slipped from his hand. His dominion passed. He fell from his throne because he lost dominion over himself. And if you lose this battle, it's not going to be because of what anybody did to you. And I'm not saying what anybody did to you was right or wrong. I'm just simply telling you it ain't got nothing to do with how you was raised, how you were born. It's the choice of whether or not you allow God to rule in your spirit. He could not rule his own spirit. Adam failed, and it looked like we would too, doomed to fail as well. And then came Jesus. And the good news is, because of Jesus, I've got another chance. I don't care how weak you are. I don't care how unworthy you are. There is a power that resides in the universe that rules the destiny of men. And it opens up the door and says, I'm going to give you a chance. It don't happen just to Sister Beverly. It happens to Steve. And it happens to Lynette. And it happens to me. And it happens to even Greta. And she has to put up with Ron. Back God, that's a struggle. But God said, I would still. How's she going to climb out of that? I don't know, but I've got a God. He doesn't offer special favors. He doesn't say, I'm going to save Christopher, but I'm going to send Benjamin to hell. That's a lie. He doesn't handicap you at birth and say, I'm sorry, you don't get a chance. I'll let somebody else. I'll let Anita have a chance, but you can't have a chance. That's a lie from hell. Every one of you. Every one of you, time and chance happeneth to them all. You may not be the fastest. You may not be the smartest. But if you got God fighting your battle, all hell can't stop you. I'm going to tear this American victim mentality to shreds tonight. There's no such thing as you being a victim, and God can't overcome it. God can defeat any foe. If David can bring down Goliath, you can overcome your trial. You can defeat your trouble. Have dominion. Hallelujah. God didn't say, well, I'm sorry, I handicapped you at birth. It's impossible for you to overcome what you've got going on in your life. I did it on purpose just so you'd be lost, because I'm God and I'm the sovereign of the universe. No. Sin handicapped you at birth. But Jesus is saying, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I preach to people, and I've preached to them all of my life, that don't stand a chance to overcome. And I've watched people in the Philippines, and you need to go there sometime, and I've gone to their trash heaps that were just heaped on top of one another. And those people were scrounging around for whatever they could get out of that trash heap in order to survive. And they were jumping around happy and laughing and cutting up and having a good time. I said, how can you have a good time on a trash heap? That's smoking. It's so compacted down. There's so much heat that it smokes. And sometimes fires will break out and just kill everybody on that particular trash heap as they're looking for something to eat, looking for something for their little cardboard hut. And then they would come from everywhere to worship God. And they would praise the Lord. And they didn't do our little 15, 20 second mess that we got going on. Oh, my leg hurts, so I can't lift my hand. What's that got to do with your hand, your leg? My toe hurts and I can't lift my hand. It ain't got nothing to do with your hand. Get your hand up in the air. If your toe hurts, sit down. Take a load off. But that ain't got nothing to do with your hand. What you need to find is the altar stairs, because there is a ladder. It works in the Philippines. It works in Pensacola. It's a royal chance given to us by an almighty God. You can still have the best character, even though you were raised by hellions. You can still be a person of integrity. When you were raised by people that don't have the integrity God gave a roach, it doesn't make any difference how you were raised. God can deliver you. If you can learn to bless the world by making it a better place and live an honorable life and die a peaceful death, leave behind a blessed memory, and you have fought your battles with a great purpose, God's going to open up the treasury vaults. Do you realize what he opened to you when he said, "Ask and ye shall receive"? You realize the resources he made available to you. Huh? You don't even know what you got. You got the Holy Ghost. You got the very power that raised Jesus from the dead. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You got the one that created the heavens and the earth on the inside of you. Don't tell me that you can't ask and you shall receive. This chance is not a myth. It is not fiction. It is not pie in the sky. As long as there's a God in heaven, there's a chance that you can overcome. If somebody would dare to believe, if you can be dared to be wacky tacky, you ought to be able to be dared to believe. Come on, does anybody believe? Do you believe you can climb out of the gutter of your first birth and become something more through Jesus Christ? But you have to realize you can lose your chance. Just because you have a chance doesn't mean it ensures and guarantees you're going to win. You have to make your opportunities. Now, I found this to be true, that men make their opportunities far more than opportunities make men. The problem is not the opportunity. The trouble is you've despised your open doors because it wasn't everything you thought it was supposed to be, so you didn't give it your best. Because you thought you were entitled to the best from the beginning. And God said, "No, I'll just open up the door to the next step, not to the summit." And you're not happy with the next step because it's not everything you dreamed of. I've watched people destroy themselves because they've looked at somebody else's ministry results and they've lusted after the results, but they did not want to pay the price to get it. And they thought they could bypass the process because of who I am. It just don't work that way, honey. You say, "I wish I had the anointing of this one and that one, and I know the ones you're talking about, and I know their story." You don't want their anointing unless you want their struggles. And they've all had to overcome something. This victim mentality, this entitlement mentality. Huh? God did not create you to be a sinner. I'm going to say that again. God did not create you to be a sinner. And God did not put you in the gutter and say nothing can change that. That is a lie from the pits of hell. I might have been born and shapen in iniquity, but time and chance happeneth to them all. The time is now, and my door is open. One thing I've learned in life, it's probably the only thing, but one thing I've learned, y'all can be seated. One thing I've learned, Brendan, come with me, son. One thing I've learned, and this is one thing I have done. I can't say I've done everything else, but I've done this, is that if God opened one door and I got one step, I got happy and I gave it everything I had. I never complain because Brother Tenney only gave me the early morning session. And the only reason why I took it is because nobody else would take it. I don't know how many he asked before I took it. But he said, Brian, would you do it? I said, sure. If I got an open door, I'm going to climb the step. I didn't know where it would lead me. I just took the step. And you know what it did? I just decided to be there on time every day, even though I was about going half out of my mind because Brother and Sister Tenney believed in having camp meeting every loving, every all day and all ever loving night long. I had to stay up to 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning and then get up at, I tried to get as close to that time as I could get. 7 o'clock in the morning, I had to get up, but I took the step. And that's what some of you won't do. And that's why you're missing your chance. Oh, well, if I had the chance that this other man had, then I could be this and I could do that. No, you missed your chance 10 years ago because you didn't prepare for it and you weren't ready when the chance came. Weren't ready. But me and Brendan, we're going to be ready because we're going to go up to the next step. Huh? And if all I know to do is worship, and I just got to a point, Brenda, where all I would say, God, if you'll just let me worship you in spirit and in truth, I don't care what else you do. And so I would just stand up when nobody else would. I would praise him when nobody else would. I just took the step of worship in my life. I just praised him when everybody thought I was weird. I bugged every evangelist that came to Lake Charles. I would sit down and make them talk. They didn't want to talk. They was aggravated that I was even talking to them. And I could have got mad. And if I'd been some of you, you'd have been offended for the next 16 years and sucked your thumb over it. But I said, I'll bug them dudes. They ain't got nothing to do. I am going to bug them until they talk to me. And they said, who is that crazy? One of them asked Brother Thorne and said, who is that crazy kid that keeps coming up trying to talk to me? Oh, that's Brian. He didn't even have to ask. He already knew who it was. It was me because I took the step. If them fools were going to come and preach in the pulpit, I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to go up the step. I'm going to find out how to do this because I don't know how to do it. But I'm going to find out how to do it. I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to go. And if some of you would get on those stairs and quit griping about what you've got to go through and quit crying about it. Get your little pacifier up out your mouth. We ain't feeding you a bottle no more. Get up on them stairs and start praising God and say, if I go down, I'm going to go down shouting. Take a swing at the devil. I said, take a swing at the devil. And say, I might be down, but that don't mean I gotta stay down because I found a ladder. I found a place in a place called love. This is the gate of heaven. It might be a dry place to everybody else, but to me, it's the house of the Lord. This is the gate of heaven. Hallelujah. There have been plenty of times when I could have got a wrong attitude. Plenty of times I was mistreated by people in authority. Many times they misunderstood me and they attacked me instead of blessed me. You know what God told me? You're not going to like this either. He said, bless them. Bless them. What do you want me to do? Pour water on the hands of Elijah. Then he took me to the Word, showed me Elisha, and Elijah did everything to throw that brother off the trail. So I don't want you here, stupid, going over there. That's my translation. Hey, you ignorant thing, get out of here. I don't want you here. You can't handle this anointing. I want a double portion. Yeah, you've asked for a hard thing and you ain't going to get it. Now get out of here. And he said, where are you going? I'm going to Bethel. He said, I'm going there. Going to Jericho. I'm going there. Going there. He kept going. He said, I tell you what, ignorant. I didn't even want to anoint you. If God hadn't told me in that ignorant cave to come out here and anoint you, you wouldn't even be in this place. He said, but you gave me a chance. And I'm not leaving. And you know, it was Elisha that went and killed those oxen and tore up the plow and sacrificed all them. It wasn't Elijah that commanded him to do that. He did it on his own without a command, because he said, you know what? I got my chance and I'm not going to miss my moment. I'm going to take the chance that this just might be the difference. And so he kept climbing. And he kept following Elijah. And I said, I'll tell you what, if you see me go away, that means God is going to give you my mantle and you're going to get the double portion anointing. But you got to see it. And Elisha, when all the sons of the prophets were saying, oh, he's just been translated to another mountain. He's somewhere around here. We're going to go look for him. And they embarrassed old poor Elisha. They just beat him down to where the Bible says he was beat down. They embarrassed him, said, okay, go look for it. Go find him. And everybody's still looking for Elijah, even though Elisha's got the power.
I remember the days of Elijah. It was so good around here. We had 7 miracles that took place.
So they had to go look for it. And Elisha said, I got 14 of them in me. Hallelujah. Hey, Elijah might be gone, but he ain't gone far, because he's still in Elisha. Aunt Catherine might be gone. Eloise might be gone, but they're still here in me and in you and in you. You just got to take the chance. Because time and chance happeneth to them. Now, what did our scholarship teach you this morning? All is every lasting, ever loving one of you. But nobody can make you take the chance. You have to do it. So, if you want the chance, then this is what I want you to do, okay? I want you to get your neighbor by the hand. And I want you to just cry out to God like you're so desperate. You want God to show you these stairs so you can start climbing up in them stairs. I want you to cry out. Cry out. Cry out. Cry out. We got a chance in the night to bless Israel. Now, listen to me. On Saturday, May the 4th at 11 a.m. here at the church. We're going to connect with Slovakia and Serbia on the internet. They're going to be live. We're going to be live. And we're going to have a day to bless Serbia. They need a breakthrough. Brother Vladimir, Brother Tier are working on that end to get a bunch of churches to come together in one place. I've got a little web thing that I do that will connect everybody together, and we'll see them on the screen. They'll see us. And we're going to pray together with Serbia. See, technology is a good thing if you use it right. Saturday. Well, I'll only keep you here about an hour and a half, because they're 7 hours ahead. 6 o'clock their time, 11 a.m. our time. 7 hours ahead. They'll be 6 p.m. And then they do church about 8 p.m. on Saturdays. That's the way they do church over there. So we're going to come together, and I want at least 120 people here. I mean, I know everybody can't come. I understand everybody's got life, and we all have life, and we all have to deal with it, and that's all right. We love you. I'll kill you later, but I'm too tired tonight. So, but if you can make it, if you think you can mark your calendar, at least try to work it out. On May 4th, would you lift your hand? See, look at that. We'll have more than 120 then if all of y'all come. I just wanted a day of Pentecost crowd. I mean, if I get a Gideon's 300, I'll be happy. Watch out, Midianites. We're going to whoop all of them. But I'll take a day of Pentecost crowd of 120. Say, I don't know how they could have as many as 120 at their service if they get all their churches together. So that may be possible. And we're going to try to work out all the technicalities and everything, and maybe we can make that work. Now, what I want us to do tonight, we're going to pray for them in Jesus' name. Because when you bless others, God will bless you. That's just one of those stairs you need to climb. And you need to learn how to do that. So find somebody around you. You're going to bless them, and we're going to bless Serbia and Slovakia. There are the former Yugoslavia. Now, Slovakia is the former Czechoslovakia. Czech Republic split, and Slovakia is its own nation now. Serbia, Bosnia, Montenegro, Croatia was all a part of Yugoslavia. Now they're all split up in separate nations. And so we're just going to pray that God's going to be with them and that God's going to help them get a breakthrough, because we need a breakthrough here in Pensacola. I don't know how to get that breakthrough other than just to pray for it and wait on God. That's all I know to do. That's all I've ever done. Right now, I feel a Holy Ghost breakthrough in this place tonight. For Slovakia, for Serbia, for Pensacola. Okay. How many of you are going to make up in your mind, you know your next step's not going to be the summit? Never will be till Jesus comes back or you die and step over there, okay? It's not going to be there, but you're going to take the next step. That's the key to being perfect as He is perfect. Take the next step. Go up a notch. That's what He wants you to do. Not reach the summit. You can't reach the summit. He's got to pull you there. He's got to bring you there. But He just opens the door to the next step. That's why He said He's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Because He only lightens the path one step at a time. And that's the way it always has worked. So that no flesh can glory in His sight. Because you'll think you, in your own wisdom, did all of it. And you ain't did nothing. But just take the next step. If you're going to do that, I want you to come to the front right now. Take somebody by the hand. Get up here. Get up here and just say, if God opens up, if He gives me a chance, I'm going to take the step. Whatever that step is, I'm going to take it.
kolabayanama, shotabayariana. Come on, take that next step. Come on, young people. It may, all your struggles aren't going to be over after tonight. All your troubles aren't going to be over. All your flaws aren't going to be all of a sudden corrected overnight. But if you take the next step, it's worth. Keep trying. Keep climbing.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.